Bertrand Russell once wrote, "The very best proof that something can be done is that someone else has already done it." Ordinary into extraordinary. Very often you see people who don't seem to be as intelligent or as talented as you are, who are nonetheless accomplishing remarkable things with their lives. There's nothing that will make you angrier than to see someone who seems to be dumber than you, who's doing better than you. How can this be? The answer is simple. At a certain point in their lives, they realized that the key to success was personal and professional growth. It was a dedication to lifelong learning that made them successful. The good news is that almost every important skill is learnable. Every business skill is learnable. Everyone who is proficient in any area of business was at one time completely ignorant in that area. Every sales skill is learnable. Every top salesperson was once a beginning salesperson and unable to make a call or close a sale. All money-making skills are learnable as well. Almost every wealthy person was once poor. You can learn anything you need to learn to achieve any goal you can set for yourself. Make a decision. The starting point of your moving upward and onward toward becoming one of the most competent, most respected, and highest paid people in your field is simple. Make a decision. It's said that every major change in your life comes about when your mind collides with a new idea, and then you make a decision to do something different. You make a decision to complete your education, upgrade your skills, or get into a good college. You make a decision to start a new business. You make a decision to take a particular job or start a particular career. You make a decision to invest your money in a particular way. And especially, you make a decision to be the best in your field. Many people say that they would like to be happy, healthy, thin, and rich. But, as discussed in Chapter 4, wishing and hoping is not enough. You have to make a firm, unequivocal decision that you are going to pay any price and go any distance in order to achieve the goals you have set for yourself. You have to make that decision and then burn your mental bridges behind you. From that moment on, you resolve to continue working on yourself and your craft until you reach the top 20% or beyond. Follow the leaders, not the followers. When you decide to be one of the best people in your field, look around you and identify the people who are already at the top. What characteristics do they have in common? How do they plan and organize their days? How do they dress? How do they walk, talk, and behave with other people? What books do they read? How do they spend their spare time? Who do they associate with? What courses have they taken? What audio programs do they listen to in their cars? These are just a few of the questions you should ask in order to find out what successful people are doing that you might also need to do. After all, you can't hit a target that you can't see. Your selection of the right role models can have an enormous impact on your future. Dr. David McClelland of Harvard and author of The Achieving Society concluded that your choice of a reference group can determine as much as 95% of your success and achievement in life. Your reference group is made up of the people who you feel are just like me. Your natural tendency is to adopt the attitudes, styles of dress, opinions, and lifestyles of the people with whom you identify and associate most of the time. Fly with the eagles. Some years ago, one of my seminar participants told me his story. Bob Barton said he had started off in his 20s in a large company with about 32 salespeople in his branch. It was his first real job, and he was starting at the bottom. Because he was new, he hung around with the other junior salespeople. As they say, birds of a feather flock together. After a month or two, Bob noticed that the top salespeople in the office also associated with each other. They did not spend time with the junior salespeople. They also spent their time differently. When Bob got into work in the morning, the top salespeople were already there, planning their days and working on the telephone and making appointments. Bob also noticed that the junior salespeople would come in later, drink coffee, read the newspaper, and make excuses for not making sales calls. Bob decided that he was going to pattern himself after the top salespeople in the office. He looked at the way they dressed and groomed, and he resolved to dress and groom the way they did. Each morning he would stand in front of his mirror and ask himself, "Do I look like one of the top salespeople in my office?" If the answer was no, he would go back and change his clothes until he felt that he looked as good as the best people. He began to come into the office and organize his day before 8:30 a.m. so that he was ready to make calls as soon as his customers were available to see him. One day, Bob asked one of the top salespeople if he could recommend a book or audio program that would help him. It turns out that top people are always willing to help other people improve. When he got the recommendation, Bob immediately went out and got the book and sent away for the audio program. He read the book and listened to the program, and then reported back to the top salesman. The top salesman gave him some more advice on things to read and listen to, all of which Bob followed. Bob asked another salesperson how he planned his day, and that salesperson showed him his time management system. So Bob began to plan and organize his day the way the top salespeople did it. By using these top salespeople as his role models and emulating them whenever possible, Bob started to make more appointments, see more prospects, and make more sales. Within 6 months, he was one of the top salespeople in the office as well. By that time, the top salespeople had invited him for coffee and lunch, and he became one of them rather than one of the junior people. The next year, Bob went to the National Sales Conference, where he met a lot of the top people from around the country. He deliberately sought them out and asked for their advice. What books would they suggest? What audio programs would they recommend? What seminars had they attended? What strategies did they find that were the most effective in building their sales business? Bob did something that very few people do. When he received advice, he followed it. He immediately took action on the advice and then reported back to the people who had given it to him. Within 4 years, Bob became one of the top salespeople in the country. His friends and associates were the other top salespeople in his branch and in the other branches. His income had increased several times. He wore beautiful clothes, drove a new car, lived in a lovely home, and had a wonderful wife. And he said that it all came about as a result of asking top salespeople for their input and then following that input and applying it to his sales activities. But here's the kicker. Over and over, the top people, the ones who had been winning the sales awards year after year, told Bob the same thing. He was the first person who had ever come up to them and asked them for advice. No one else had ever sought them out and asked them why they were so successful. The answers have all been found. Here is a great discovery. All the answers have been found. All the routes to success have been discovered. Everything you need to learn to move to the top of your field has already been learned by hundreds and even thousands of other people. And if you ask them for advice, they will give it to you. Successful people will have their phone calls held, cancel other appointments, and put their work aside to help other people to be successful. But you must ask, and then you must follow their advice once they give it to you. If you can't ask them directly, read their books and attend their talks and seminars. Listen to audio programs created by successful people. Sometimes you can send them emails and ask for advice. Learn from the best. Set high income as a goal. If your goal is to be in the top 20% of moneymakers in your field, the first thing you need to do is to find out what the people in the top 20% are earning today. This information is available. Just ask around. Check industry statistics. Go on to Google. You can find this information if you look for it. Once you know the income target at which you are aiming, write it down as your goal. Make a plan to achieve this level of income and work on it every day. Never stop until you reach it. The secret to high income in business and sales is quite simple. Learn and do. Like jacking up a car, you improve one notch at a time. Each time you learn and practice a new skill, you ratchet up your earning ability, and it locks in. As long as you keep increasing your earning ability, you keep ratcheting up to a higher level from which you seldom decline. Use the 3% formula to invest in yourself. To guarantee your lifelong success, make a decision today to invest 3% of your income back into yourself. This seems to be the magic number for lifelong learning. According to the American Society for Training and Development, this is the percentage that the most profitable 20% of companies in every industry invest in the training and development of their staff. Decide today to invest 3% of your income into yourself in order to make yourself an appreciating asset, to continually increase your earning ability. If your annual income goal is $50,000, resolve to invest 3% of that amount, or $1,500, back into yourself each year to maintain and upgrade your knowledge and skills. If your income goal is $100,000, resolve to invest $3,000 per year back into yourself to assure that you reach that level of income. The payoff is extraordinary. I was giving a seminar in Detroit a couple of years ago when a young man about 30 years old came up to me at the break. He told me that he had first come to my seminar and heard my 3% rule about 10 years ago. At that time, he had dropped out of college, was living at home, driving an old car, and earning about $20,000 a year as an office-to-office salesman. He decided after the seminar that he was going to apply the 3% rule to himself, and he did so immediately. He calculated 3% of his income of $20,000 would be $600. He began to buy sales books and read them every day. He invested in 2 audio learning programs on sales and time management. He took 1 sales seminar. He invested the entire $600 in himself in learning to become better. That year, his income went from $20,000 to $30,000, an increase of 50%. He said he could trace the increase with great accuracy to the things he had learned and applied from the books he had read and the audio programs he had listened to. So the following year, he invested 3% of $30,000, a total of $900, back into himself. That year, his income jumped from $30,000 to $50,000. He began to think, if my income goes up at 50% per year by investing 3% back into myself, what would happen if I invested 5%? The next year, he invested 5% of his income, $2,500, into his learning program. He took more seminars, traveled cross-country to a conference, bought more audio and video learning programs, and even hired a part-time coach. And that year, his income doubled to $100,000. After that, like playing Texas Hold'em, he decided to go all in and raised his investment into himself to 10% per year. He told me that he'd been doing this ever since. I asked him, how has investing 10% of your income back into yourself affected your income? He smiled and said, I passed $1,000,000 in personal income last year, and I still invest 10% of my income in myself every single year. I said, wow, that's a lot of money. How do you manage to spend that much money on personal development? He said, it's hard. I have to start spending money on myself in January in order to invest it all by the end of the year. I have an image coach, a sales coach, and a speaking coach. I have a large library in my home with every book, audio program, and video program on sales and personal success I can find. I attend conferences both nationally and internationally in my field, and my income keeps going up every year. There are 3 simple steps to become the best. Becoming one of the top people in your field requires discipline and application more than anything else. There are 3 simple steps that you can follow to become the very best in your field. 1. Read 60 minutes in your field each day. Turn off the television and the radio. Put aside the newspaper and read material about your field for 1 hour each day before you start working. 2. Listen to educational audio programs in your car. Start them and stop them as you listen so that you can reflect on what you have just heard and think about how you can apply the ideas to your work. 3. Attend courses and seminars in your field regularly. Seek them out. Take online courses in the convenience of your own home, courses that enable you to upgrade your skills and give you important ideas that you can use to be even more successful. The power of compound learning, like compound interest, is quite amazing. The more you learn, the more you can learn. The more you learn, the better your brain functions and the smarter you get. Your memory and retention rate improves. The more you learn, the more relationships you find between something you learned at one time and something you learn at another time. Never stop learning and growing. The achievement of mastery. How long does it take to achieve mastery in your field? According to the experts, the acquisition of mastery requires about 7 years or 10,000 hours of hard work. It takes 7 years to become a master salesperson. It takes 7 years to become a successful business person. It takes 7 years to become an excellent diesel mechanic. It takes 7 years to become an excellent brain surgeon. It seems to take 7 years or 10,000 hours of hard work to get to the top of any field. So you might as well get started. The time is going to pass anyway. The starting point of your achieving mastery is for you to commit to excellence. I've never met a person who made a decision to get into the top 20% in their field who did not eventually achieve it. And I never met a person who got there having not made that decision. Making the decision and then following up with continuous, purposeful, disciplined action is essential. Talent is not enough. As I mentioned earlier, according to Jeffrey Colvin in his best-selling book, Talent is Overrated, most people learn how to do their job in the first year, and then they never get any better. They just coast in their jobs. But the only direction you can coast is downhill. Many people will work away at a job for many years and never rise above the average. They will do their job from 8 to 5, but they never lift a finger to upgrade their skills. They will not invest any time learning their craft unless their company pays for the extra training and gives them the time off to take it. The average person does only an average job, and as a result, he earns an average income and worries about money all his life. He never realizes that often there is only a thin veil that separates the average person from the excellent person. The fact is that if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. No one stays in the same place for long. 2 hours each day will get you to the top. It's been calculated that all you need to invest is about 2 extra hours per day to move from the average to the superior. Only 2 extra hours each day will move you from worrying about money all your life to being one of the highest paid people in your field. People immediately ask, where am I going to get an extra 2 hours each day? It's simple. Take a piece of paper and do the following simple calculation. Calculate the number of hours in a week. 7 days times 24 hours equals 168 hours. If you deduct 40 hours for work and 56 hours for sleep, you have 72 hours left over. If you deduct 3 hours per day, 21 hours, for getting ready for and traveling to and from work, that leaves you 51 hours of spare time to do with as you please. If you invest 2 hours per day back into yourself, 14 hours per week, you still have 37 hours left over. That's an average of more than 5 hours per day of free time. All you need to do is devote 2 hours each day to move you from average performance to superior performance at whatever you choose to do. Form the habit of continuous learning. The best news is that when you begin reading in personal or professional development literature, listening to audio programs in your car, taking additional courses and upgrading your skills in the evenings and on the weekends rather than watching television, you soon get into the habit of continuous learning. In no time at all, it will become automatic and easy for you to learn, grow, and upgrade your skills every day and every week. The average adult watches about 5 hours of television each day. For some people, it is 7 or 8 hours. They turn on the television first thing in the morning and watch it until they leave for work. They turn it back on as soon as they get home from work. They then watch television until 11 or 12 o'clock at night, going to bed without enough time to get a good night's sleep. They then get up in the morning, drink coffee, and watch television for as long as they can before they go off to work once more. You can be rich or poor. It's your decision. Your television set can make you rich or poor. If you watch it all the time, it will make you poor. Psychologists have shown that the more television you watch, the lower are your levels of energy and self-esteem. At an unconscious level, you don't like or respect yourself as much if you sit there hour after hour watching television. People who watch too much television also gain weight and become physically unfit from sitting around too much. Your television can also make you rich, but only if you turn it off. When you turn off your television, you free up time that you can then use to invest in becoming a better, smarter, or more competent person. When you leave your television off when you are with your family, you'll find yourself talking, sharing, communicating, and laughing more often. When you leave your television off for extended periods of time, you break the habit of watching television, and you'll hardly miss it at all. Your television can be an excellent servant, but it's a terrible master. The choice is yours. increase your income 1,000%. There is a simple 7-step formula you can use in order to increase your productivity, performance, and output and income by 1,000% over the next 10 years. It works for everyone who tries it. It is simple. First, answer this question. Is it possible for you to increase your overall productivity, performance, and output by 0.1%, which is 1/1,000th, in an entire working day? Your answer will probably be yes. If you were to manage your time a little better and work on more valuable tasks, you would quite easily increase your output by 1/1,000th in a day. Having done this for the first day, could you increase your output by 0.1% the second day? And the answer, of course, is yes. Having increased your performance by 0.1% on Monday and Tuesday, could you continue to do this for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? And again, the answer is yes. 0.5% per week. 0.1% times 5 days per week equals 0.5% per week. Is it possible for a normal, intelligent, hardworking individual to increase his or her output by 0.5%, or 1/200th, in a single week? Of course it is. Having done this for the first week, could you keep up the same pace of personal development the second week? Of course you could. Could you get 0.1% better 5 days a week for an entire month? If you could, this means that you would be 0.5% better per week, multiplied times 4, or 2% more productive in an entire month. There are 13 four-week months in a year. 4 times 13 equals 52. Having become 2% better in a month, could you repeat that in the second month, in the third month, the fourth month, and so on? Of course you could. By working on yourself a little bit each day, learning new skills, getting better at your key tasks, setting priorities, and focusing on higher value activities, you can become 26% more productive over the course of an entire year. Having achieved this goal for the first year, could you do it for the second year and then the third? Could you keep it up for 10 years? And the answer, of course, is yes. And the best news is that when you continue to work on yourself, it becomes easier and easier for you to get better and better as the weeks and months go by. By the law of accumulation, or the law of incremental improvement, by the end of 12 months, you would be 26% better. If you continue to improve at 26% per year, by the end of 10 years with compounding, you would be 1,004% more productive. Your income would increase at the same rate. This formula works if you do. There are 7 steps in the 1,000% formula. Step 1. Arise 2 hours before your first appointment, or before you have to be at work. Invest the first hour in yourself by reading something educational, motivational, or spiritual. As Henry Ward Beecher once said, the first hour is the rudder of the day. When you get up and invest the first hour in yourself, you set yourself up mentally to have an excellent day. You will be more positive, alert, creative, and productive all day long when you start your day by investing the first hour in yourself. If you read in your field 1 hour per day, that will translate into about 1 book per week. 1 book per week will translate into about 50 books per year. Since the average adult reads less than 1 nonfiction book per year, if you were to read 50 books in your field each year, do you think that would give you an edge in your profession? Do you think that it would move you ahead of virtually everyone else in your business? Of course it would. If you read 50 books per year for 10 years, this would be 500 books that would help you to improve your productivity, performance, and income. At the very least, you would need a bigger house just to hold your books, and you'd be able to afford it. Reading 1 hour per day in your field will make you a national authority in 3 to 5 years. This alone can give you your 1,000% increase over the course of your career. Step 2. Rewrite your goals every day. Get a spiral notebook and rewrite your major goals in the present tense every morning before you start out, without looking back at what you wrote the previous day. This writing and rewriting is the process of programming instructions into the guidance mechanism of your mind. When you rewrite your 10 goals each morning, you'll continually see and think of opportunities to achieve those goals all day long. You'll become more focused, channeled, and directed. you'll be more purposeful and determined, and you will achieve your goals much faster than if they were merely wishes floating around in the back of your mind. Writing and rewriting your goals each day can give you your 1,000% increase in income over 10 years. Step 3. Plan every day in advance. Make a list and set priorities on your work before you start off. Your ability to set priorities and to choose the most important thing that you could be doing at every moment is the key to organizing your life and doubling your productivity. We'll talk in detail about time management techniques in Chapter 12. Working on your top priorities can increase your income by 1,000% over 10 years, and it is probably impossible to achieve without it. Step 4. Discipline yourself to concentrate single-mindedly on one thing. Choose the most important thing that you can do each day. Then, start on it first thing and work on it until it's 100% complete. Your ability to focus and concentrate when you develop and hone it into a habit all by itself will enable you to double your productivity, performance, and output in the next month, and it will give you your 1,000% increase over 10 years. Step 5. Listen to educational audio programs in your car. The average business person who drives spends 500 to 1,000 hours per year behind the wheel of their car. When you turn your car into a university on wheels, a mobile classroom, you get the educational equivalent of 1 to 2 full-time university semesters as you drive around. Many people have gone from rags to riches by simply listening to educational audio programs in their cars as they drive from place to place. You could do the same. This alone could give you your 1,000% increase. Step number 6, ask 2 magic questions after every call or event. First, ask yourself, what did I do right? Then, ask yourself, what would I do differently? The first question, what did I do right, forces you to think through and recall all the correct things that you did in that last meeting, presentation, or event, even if it was not successful. Write them down. The second question, what would I do differently, forces you to think through all the different ways you could improve your performance in a similar situation. Write these ideas down as well. In both cases, by reviewing your performance, by thinking about what you did right and what you would do differently, you program yourself to perform even better the next time. This is one of the fastest and most powerful exercises in personal growth and development I have ever discovered. This process dramatically speeds up the rate at which you move into the top 20%. Step 7. Treat every person you meet like a million-dollar customer. Treat each person you meet and work with, both at home and in the office, as though he or she is the most important person in the world. When you treat people as if they are valuable and important, they will return the favor by treating you as if you are valuable and important as well. They will want to be associated with you, work for you, buy from you, and introduce you to their friends. You begin treating people like million-dollar customers by starting at home, with the members of your family. Remember, they are the most important people in your life. So when you start your day well, first thing in the morning, by making the members of your family feel important and telling them that you love them, you'll be more positive, relaxed, and happier for the rest of the day. Fully 85% of your success will be determined by how much people like and respect you, especially in business and sales. Never miss an opportunity to treat people well. When you practice these 7 steps each day for a month, you will see changes and improvements in your life, work, and income that will astonish you. After a month of regular practice, you'll have formed a new habit of continuous personal improvement that can carry you onward and upward for the rest of your life. Be the best. Lifelong personal development and the commitment to personal excellence requires tremendous dedication, discipline, and willpower. The greatest payoff is that every time you learn and apply something new, your brain releases endorphins, which make you feel happier and more excited about your future. Every time you learn and apply something new, you'll have a greater sense of personal power. Your self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride will increase. You'll feel very much in control of your earning ability, which is one of the most important parts of your life. In the next chapter, we'll talk about the importance of courage, of overcoming the fears and doubts that hold most people back. It is often the case that we know what we need to do, but we lack the courage to take the risks that accompany trying anything new. Instead, we make excuses for inaction. Now, here are some action exercises that you can do. Number one, make a decision today to invest in yourself and getting better, as if your future depends on it, because it does. Two, identify the most important skills you have that determine the quality and quantity of results you get at your work, and make a plan to get better in each one. Three, if you could wave a magic wand and become absolutely excellent in any one skill, which one skill would have the greatest impact on your earning ability? Whatever your answer, set that skill as a goal, make a plan, and work on it every day. Four, set excellent performance in your work as a goal, and then determine exactly what you will need to do every day to join the top 20% or better in your field. Five, look ahead 3 to 5 years and determine the new knowledge and skills you will need in order to lead your field in the future. Then start acquiring them today. Six, select the top person in your field, the one you admire most, and use him or her as a role model for your own development. And seven, commit yourself today to lifelong learning, and never let a day go by without getting better in some area. Chapter 6, Self-Discipline and Courage. Mark Twain said, "Courage is not absence of fear, it is control of fear, mastery of fear." You need large amounts of self-discipline to deal courageously with all the fear-inducing events of your life. This is probably why Churchill said, "Courage is rightly considered the foremost of the virtues, for upon it all others depend." The fact is that everyone is afraid, and usually of many things. This is normal and natural. Often, fear is necessary to preserve life, prevent injury, and guard against financial mistakes. So, if everyone is afraid, what is the difference between the brave person and the coward? The only difference is that the brave person disciplines himself to confront, deal with, and act in spite of the fear. In contrast, the coward allows himself to be dominated and controlled by the fear. Someone once said that, with regard to warfare, although it applies to any situation, the difference between the hero and the coward is that the hero sticks in there 5 minutes longer. Fortunately, all fears are learned. No one is born with fears. Fears can therefore be unlearned by practicing self-discipline repeatedly with regard to fear until it goes away. The most common fears that we experience, which often sabotage all hopes for success, are the fears of failure, poverty, and loss of money. These fears cause people to avoid risk of any kind and to reject opportunity when it's presented to them. They're so afraid of failure that they're almost paralyzed when it comes to taking any chances at all. There are many other fears that interfere with our happiness. People fear the loss of love or the loss of their jobs and their financial security. People fear embarrassment or ridicule. People fear rejection and criticism of any kind. People fear the loss of respect or esteem of others. These and many other fears hold us back throughout life. Fear paralyzes action. The most common reaction in a fear situation is the attitude of, "I can't." This is the fear of failure and loss that stops us from taking action. It is experienced physically, starting in the solar plexus. When a person is really afraid, their mouth and throat goes dry, their heart starts pounding. Sometimes they breathe shallowly and their stomach churns. Often they feel like getting up and running to the bathroom. These are all physical manifestations of the inhibitive negative habit pattern, which we all experience from time to time. Whenever a person is in the grip of fear, he feels like a deer caught in the headlights of a car. This fear paralyzes action. It often shuts down the brain and causes the individual to revert to the fight or flight reaction. Fear is a terrible emotion that undermines our happiness and can hold us back throughout our lives. Do the opposite. Aristotle described courage as the golden mean between the extremes of cowardice and impetuousness. He taught that to develop a quality that you lack, act as if you already had that quality in every situation where it is called for. In modern terms, however, we say, fake it until you make it. You can actually change your behavior by affirming, visualizing, and acting as if you already have the quality you desire. By affirming, by repeating the words, I can do it, emphatically, whenever you feel afraid for any reason, you can cancel the feeling of, I can't. Every time you repeat the words, I can do it, with conviction, you override your fear and increase your confidence. By repeating this affirmation over and over again, you can eventually build your courage and confidence to the point where you are unafraid. Visualize yourself as unafraid. By visualizing yourself performing with confidence and competence in an area where you are fearful, your visual image will eventually be accepted by your subconscious mind as instructions for your performance. Your self-image, the way you see yourself and think about yourself, is eventually altered by feeding your mind these positive mental pictures of yourself performing at your best. By using the act-as-if method, you walk, talk, and carry yourself exactly as you would if you were completely unafraid in a particular situation. You stand up straight, smile, move quickly and confidently, and in every respect, act as if you already had the courage that you desire. The law of reversibility says that if you feel a certain way, you will act in a manner consistent with that feeling. But if you act in a manner consistent with that feeling, even if you don't feel it, the law of reversibility will create the feeling that is consistent with your actions. This is one of the greatest breakthroughs in success psychology. You develop the courage you desire by disciplining yourself repeatedly to do the thing you fear until that fear eventually disappears. And it will. Blow away the fear. When I work with sales organizations, they often ask me how to help a salesperson break out of a sales slump, especially in a tough economy. I give them a simple formula that is guaranteed to work every single time. It is called the 100 call method. In practicing this method, I instruct the salesperson to go out and call on 100 prospects as fast as he can without caring at all whether or not he makes a sale. When the salesperson doesn't care if he makes a sale, his fear of rejection largely disappears. He stops caring if the prospect he is speaking to is interested or not interested. He has a single focus. It is to make 100 calls as fast as he possibly can. One sales organization I work with has a daily prize for the first salesperson who gets rejected 10 times each morning. At 8:30 a.m., all the salespeople sit down at their desk and start making calls to try to win the prize. By the time the contest is over, usually by 10 a.m., everyone's fears of rejection have been blown out of their systems. They're ready to call on prospects all day long, not caring at all about the reactions they get. Learn to speak on your feet. In 1923, Toastmasters International was formed. Its express purpose was to take people who were terrified of public speaking and help them to become confident and competent when speaking on their feet in front of an audience. According to the Book of Lists, 54% of adults rate the fear of public speaking ahead of the fear of death. But Toastmasters International had a solution. They created a system based on what psychologists call systematic desensitization. Once a week at a luncheon or dinner meeting, small groups of Toastmasters come together. Each person is required to stand up and give a short talk on a specific subject in front of a group of their peers. At the end of each talk, the speaker receives applause, positive input, and comments from the other members. At the end of the evening, each person is given a grade on their talk, even if it was only for 30 or 60 seconds. After 6 months of attending Toastmasters meetings, the individual will have stood on his feet and spoken 26 times, receiving positive applause and feedback each time. Because of this continuous positive reinforcement, his confidence increases dramatically. As a result of this process, countless Toastmasters have gone on to become excellent public speakers and prominent people in their businesses, organizations, and communities. Their fears of public speaking are gone forever. Eliminate two fears at once. Psychologists have found that certain fears are bundled together in the subconscious mind, like wires on the same circuit. If you can overcome your fears in one of these areas, you will also eliminate other fears on the same circuit. The fear of rejection or call reluctance seems to be bundled together with the fear of public speaking. When you discipline yourself to join Toastmasters or to take a Dale Carnegie course to learn to speak confidently on your feet, your fears of rejection largely disappear as well. Your level of self-confidence in all your interactions with others increases dramatically. Your whole life changes in a positive way. Confront your fears. Your ability to confront, deal with, and act in spite of your fears is the key to happiness and success. One of the best exercises you can practice is to identify a person or situation in your life of which you are afraid and resolve to deal with that fear situation immediately. Do not allow it to make you unhappy for another minute. Resolve to confront the situation or person and put the fear behind you. A woman in one of my seminars told me that her boss was a very negative person. He was constantly criticizing and berating her about her work, even though she was one of the highest-rated employees in the organization. He was making her life miserable. She didn't want to give up her job, but she was afraid of confronting him. She asked me what she should do. I gave her this advice, which I've subsequently given to many other people. The only reason that one person bullies another is because they feel they can get away with it. The only way to deal with a bully is to confront him. Bullies are actually cowards at heart, and they will flee from a confrontation. I told her to do this. The next time your boss criticizes you for any reason, turn to him and say, quite firmly, "I would appreciate it if you not talk to me like that ever again. It hurts my feelings and stops me from doing my job the way you want." I told her to look him straight in the eye after she had finished making this statement. Well, she had tremendous courage. Rather than putting up with this situation any longer, the next time her boss began to berate her, she squared off with him and said those words. She wrote to me and told me what had happened. Just as I had predicted, he stopped dead in his tracks. He immediately apologized and mumbled, and then quickly went back to his office. He never criticized her again. She told me that she could have ended his bad treatment of her many months before if she had only had the courage to confront him directly the first time it happened. As Eleanor Roosevelt said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Move toward the fear. When you identify a fear and discipline yourself to move toward it, it grows smaller and more manageable. What's more, as your fears grow smaller, your confidence grows larger. Soon, your fears lose their control over you. In contrast, when you back away from a fear-inducing situation or person, your fear grows larger and larger. Soon, it dominates your thinking and feeling, preoccupies you during the day, and often keeps you awake at night. Leaders have two types of courage. In leadership, the most common quality is that of vision. Leaders have a clear vision of where they want to take their organizations. Leaders also have a clear vision of where they want to be sometime in the future in their personal lives. The second most common quality of leaders is that of courage. Leaders have the courage to do whatever is necessary to fulfill their vision. They lead from the front and dare to go forward. There are two types of courage that you need. First, you need the courage to launch, to take action, to take a leap of faith. You need the courage to go all in, without any guarantee of success and with a high possibility of failure, at least in the short term. The major feeling that holds most people back is that, in spite of all their best intentions, they don't have the courage to take the first step. The second type of courage that you need is called courageous patience. This is the ability to hang in there and continue working and fighting after you've gone all in and before you have yet seen any results or rewards. Many people can muster up the courage to take action toward a new goal, but when they see no immediate result, they immediately lose heart and pull back to safety and security. They don't have staying power. Deal with the fear directly. The only way to deal with a fear is to address it head on. Remind yourself that denial is not a river in Egypt. The natural tendency of many people is to deny that they have a problem caused by a fear of some kind. They're afraid of confronting it. In turn, it becomes a major source of stress, unhappiness, and psychosomatic illness. Be willing to deal with the situation or person directly. As Shakespeare said, "Take arms against a sea of troubles, and in so doing, end them." The companion of fear is worry. Like twin sisters, fear and worry go around together. Mark Twain once wrote, I have worried about a lot of things in life, and most of them never happened. It's been estimated that 99% of the things that you worry about never happen. And most of the things that do happen, happen so quickly that you didn't have time to worry about them in the first place. The disaster report. Whenever you're worried about something, fill out a disaster report on the situation. This will destroy your fear and worry almost instantly. This is often called the worry buster. The disaster report has four parts. First, define the worry situation clearly. What exactly are you worried about? Very often, when you take the time to be completely clear about the worry situation, a way to resolve that situation becomes immediately evident. Second, identify the worst possible thing that could happen if this worry situation were to take place. Would you lose your job? Would you lose your relationship? Would you lose your money? What's the worst thing that could possibly happen? Be clear about this. In many cases, you will see that, should the worst occur, it would not ruin you. It might be inconvenient or uncomfortable, but you would eventually recover. You will find that it's probably not worth all the worry that you are devoting to it. The third step in the disaster report is to resolve to accept the worst possible outcome, should it occur. Say to yourself, well, if that happens, it won't kill me. I'll find a way to get along. Most of the stress of worry comes from denial, from not being willing to face the worst possible thing that could happen. But once you resolve to accept the worst, should it occur, all the worry and stress seems to disappear. Fourth, begin immediately to improve on the worst. Take every step that you possibly can to make sure that the worst possible outcome does not occur. Take action immediately. Do something. Get on with it. Act quickly. Get so busy making sure that the worst thing does not happen that you have no time to worry. The real antidote. In the final analysis, the only real cure for fear or worry is disciplined, purposeful action in the direction of your goals. Get so busy working on your goals or the solutions to your problems that you have no time to be afraid or to worry about anything. When you practice the self-discipline of courage and force yourself to face any fear-inducing situation in your life, your self-esteem goes up, your self-respect increases, and your sense of personal power grows. You eventually reach the point in life where you're not afraid of anything. Once you've developed the courage to step out in faith, you must then develop the self-discipline of persistence, which we'll talk about in the next chapter. Now, here are seven action exercises for you. 1. Identify your three biggest fears in life right now. What are they? 2. Determine what you would do in each of these situations if you were guaranteed of complete success. What actions would you take? 3. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to attempt? What would you do differently if you were guaranteed of success? 4. In what three areas of life and work do you most experience the fears of failure and loss? What steps could you take immediately to confront and eliminate those fears? 5. In what three areas of life do you most experience the fears of criticism, rejection, or embarrassment? How could you confront these fears and overcome them? 6. What one great goal would you set for yourself if you knew you could not fail? And 7. What would you do differently in life if you had $20 million in the bank, but only 10 years left to live? Chapter 7. Self-Discipline and Persistence. Benjamin Disraeli wrote, "Beware of endeavoring to become a great man in a hurry. One such attempt in 10,000 may succeed. These are fearful odds." Persistence is self-discipline in action. Your ability to persist in the face of all setbacks and temporary failures is essential to success in life. Napoleon Hill said, "Persistence is to the character of man as carbon is to steel." The primary reason for success is persistence. And likewise, the primary reason for failure is lack of persistence or quitting too soon. There's a direct link between self-discipline and self-esteem. Each time you discipline yourself to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not, your self-esteem increases. This is why there is a direct relationship between self-esteem and persistence. Each time you persist and force yourself to continue on, even when you feel like quitting, your self-esteem goes up. Each act of self-discipline strengthens every other act of self-discipline. Every act of persistence strengthens every other act of persistence. When you discipline yourself to persist over and over, you like and respect yourself more and more. You become stronger and more confident. Eventually, you become unstoppable. The reward of persistence. Persistence is its own reward. Every time you force yourself to persist on a task, whether it is large or small, you feel happier and better about yourself. When you go the extra mile and do more than you are paid for or more than is expected, your self-esteem goes up. You feel more powerful and in greater control of your life. In your career, when you go the extra mile, you put yourself on the side of the angels. The primary difference between winners and losers in life is simple. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. You can increase your ability to persist by talking to yourself positively. Say these words, "I am unstoppable." Before you begin any major undertaking, pre-program yourself by telling yourself, "I never give up." Before you can achieve anything worthwhile in life, you have to pass the persistence test. This is usually a snap quiz, sprung on you unexpectedly with no warning. You suddenly face a major setback, problem, temporary failure, or even a complete disaster. When this happens, remind yourself that this is the testing time. This is when you demonstrate what you are really made of. This is when you show yourself and others the strength of your character and your true determination to succeed. Your ability to respond. Your ability to respond effectively to setbacks, your level of response ability, is the measure of your readiness to succeed. When you experience a major setback or problem, you will feel temporarily stunned. This feeling is very much like a punch in the emotional solar plexus. You'll be stopped for a few seconds or a few minutes. During this period, you'll often feel discouraged or experience self-pity. You will say, "Why me?" However, it is not how far you fall that counts, but rather how high you bounce. Your aim is to bounce back as quickly as possible. Resilience in the face of unexpected reversals is vital to long-term success. Remember the warrior's creed. "I will lay me down to bleed a while, and then rise and fight again." Don't be surprised, shocked, or set back when things go wrong. Your best laid plans will often fall apart. Instead, expect disappointments and setbacks as a part of life. Take a deep breath, pick up the pieces, and continue onward. Optimism gives you resilience. The most important quality you need for success and persistence is optimism. This is a boundless confidence in yourself and your ability to ultimately succeed. To remain optimistic, you must control and discipline your thinking when things go wrong. Refuse to feel sorry for yourself. Remember, you are not a victim. You are an adult, and you are in charge of your own life. You are doing what you have freely chosen to do. Setbacks come with the territory. They are merely speed bumps on the road to success. Refuse to blame others or make excuses. When you complain or blame other people, it just makes you feel and sound petty and small, and, what's worse, it takes away your personal power. Whenever you criticize or complain, it makes you feel weaker and reduces your ability to deal effectively with the situation. Instead, greet every setback by repeating, "I am responsible." Look for the reasons why you are responsible for what happened, rather than trying to pass on the blame to other people. No excuses. Be proactive versus reactive. Resolve to focus on the solution and what can be done now, rather than on what happened and who's to blame. Think in terms of the actions you can take to resolve the situation, rather than what went wrong and who is to blame. To remain optimistic, look for the good in every situation. When you look for something good, you will always find something good. Furthermore, while you're looking for something good, because your conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, you'll automatically become positive, optimistic, and back in full control. Seek the valuable lesson in every problem or difficulty. Every setback you face contains one or more lessons that have been sent to you to help you to be more successful in the future. The difference between success and failures is simple. Failures feel sorry for themselves when things go wrong, whereas successful people look for the valuable lesson they can learn that will help them in the future. Look for the gift. Norman Vincent Peale used to say, "When God wants to send you a gift, he wraps it up in a problem. The bigger the gift that God wants to send you, the bigger the problem he wraps it up in." Instead of concentrating on the problem, look for the gift. Wonderfully enough, you will always find it. What's more, sometimes the gift or valuable lesson can be of far greater value than the cost of the problem itself. Sometimes one lesson that you learn in dealing with a problem can be the key to your long-term success. As Napoleon Hill wrote, "Within every problem or obstacle lies the seed of an equal or greater opportunity or benefit. Your job is to find it." Continually think of yourself as a strong, powerful, resolute person in the face of adversity. In World War I, a British general was described by his superiors. "There he stands, like an iron peg, driven into the frozen ground, immovable." Let this be an accurate description of you whenever you face difficulties or problems of any kind. Resolve to stand like an iron peg driven into the frozen ground. Resolve in advance. When you resolve in advance that you will never give up, your success is virtually guaranteed. In the final analysis, nothing can really stop you but yourself. In life, it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. All that matters is how many times you get back up. If you continue to get back up and press onward, you must eventually reach your goal. Each time you exert your self-discipline to persist in the face of adversity, you also increase your self-esteem and self-confidence. Then, as your self-esteem increases, you feel stronger, more powerful, and more unstoppable. When you feel better and stronger, you become more capable of persisting the next time, and then the time after that. By disciplining yourself to persist in the face of all adversity, you put your life onto an upward spiral of self-esteem, self-discipline, and persistence until you eventually become like a force of nature. Persistence is self-discipline in action. In part 2, you will learn the specific things you can do to apply these principles to the practical areas of life, to achieve greater success in your work and career, and to fulfill your potential in the months and years ahead. Now, here are some action exercises for you. Number 1, identify one area in your life where you need to persist even harder to achieve your goal, and then take action in that area. 2, identify a goal in your life that you did not accomplish because you failed to persist through to completion. What steps could you take today to succeed in that area? 3. Identify one big goal that you achieved because you persisted and refused to give up, no matter how difficult it became. 4. Decide on your major definite purpose in life, the one goal that, if you achieved it, would have the greatest positive impact on your life. 5. Write down your goal clearly. Make a detailed plan of action to accomplish it, and then tell yourself that failure is not an option. 6. Make a decision today that you will persist until you succeed, no matter what happens, because I am unstoppable. 7. Resolve to set and achieve one important goal, overcoming the inevitable difficulties, problems, and setbacks you will experience, and to work on it until you succeed. Repeat this process over.